Back when I was in high school, I hated history. I just thought it was deadly boring. I memorized enough names and dates to pass the tests, but I just wasn't interested. When I got to college, I managed to get through 4 years of college and an undergraduate degree without taking a single history class. Now, one might think that that is a failure of my institution, but by taking a few political science and civics classes, I was able to get away with it. Alas, then I arrived at seminary. And they're merciless about history in seminary. And so I had my whole first year of intro to church history. Monday night, 7 to 10, 3 hours of lecture at the end of a long day of classes. And I'm here to tell you, I was enraptured. I finally had a history professor who could help me to see that this is real. These are real people with real lives and real drama. And the things that one did influenced another, and what they did together influences me. And that I'm a part of this stream of history. Now, on one level, it makes me very sad that I didn't begin to see that until I got to seminary. I didn't begin to get engaged with history and begin to realize its importance. Now, I'm still no great student of history, but I appreciate it. And I enjoy it when I have the opportunity to read and learn something of history. I think my favorite Monday nights, all of us really, our favorite Monday nights were every once in a while we would come in and our professor, his name was Les Fairfield. My seminary was rather casual, so we referred to everybody by first name. And we came in and Les would say, close up your notebooks, close your eyes. And he would just start talking. And he would paint a picture of whatever, some medieval village, and the local priest working there, and the way that they would interact together. And I'm telling you, the way he could tell the story, you could smell it. You could hear the carriage wheels. You could hear the rain coming down outside. History was alive for me finally. The people of Israel have always held that. The people of Israel have always understood that history is a living thing and that I am a product of what has gone before. That it's not just a bunch of now dead old people, but rather I am part of this living stream of the work of God. And so they would sit around at night and tell one another the great stories of their faith. The work of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Isaiah and the prophets, and they would recount them one after another because they understood very much that this is who I am. This is what defines me. I'm not just off something by myself, but I am a product of history, and those who come after me will be a product of the choices that we make in this generation. They understood history to be a living thing. I think it's really one of the reasons why the Jewish people have survived as a people through all that they have been through all the millennia. This living sense of history. And they would memorize things like long genealogies, which we would find to be horribly boring. The first 17 verses of Matthew's gospel, which comes right before the portion I just read, is a genealogy. We would find that deadly boring. But for them, these are living souls. These are real people who shape who I am. It's not just looking back on history with rose-colored glasses. You know, when Jewish people come to the Passover, they don't talk about what God did for my ancestors. They talk about what God did for me They understand God's work in history to be a part of his work for me, that I am so much a part of that chain, that arc of history, that we all are together as one living being. And so Matthew is at great pains for us to see Jesus and his coming as a part of this great long arc of history and of his work among us and through us. Jesus wasn't just plopped out of the sky because stuff wasn't working out very well. Jesus was a part of God's plan throughout history for all those leading up to him and for all of us who have come afterwards. There were lots of different understandings of what a Messiah might be in Jesus' day. Most of them, admittedly, were frankly political and military. They saw a reestablishment of the Davidic monarchy, and of course, more importantly, the elimination of those accursed Romans, those Roman invaders. But there was another tradition, a tradition that arose out of the prophecies of Isaiah, that saw the redemption of the people of Israel as something that arises from one who suffers, from one who offers himself as a sacrifice, from the suffering servant. A concept that we find very strong in the prophecies of Isaiah, and that we are restored to God through the suffering, not through the grand and glorious and military and might in human terms, but through the one who is willing to lay himself down. And that's what restores us back to God. And Matthew wants us to see Jesus as that culmination of God's grand work in history to restore us to himself through that suffering. None of it is an accident. And he accomplishes it through Emmanuel, God with us. Not God sitting up in heaven, tsk, 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 I hope they can work their way out of this one. Not God sitting in judgment. Not God looking to condemn and throw away. But God who chooses out of his love to come and be with us. God with us. And that's not just a one-time accident. That is God's plan through the whole arc of history, is that he would be with us, with you and me. Sometimes we think that this happened just 2,000 years ago, that long time ago, and those ancient folks, and weren't they lucky? They got to see Jesus directly. But God's work in history is a living thing. And his presence with us is a living and promised thing for us today. Not just something for us to remember that happened a long time ago. As you're coming to Christmas this year, what are you looking for from Jesus? I find that for most of us, what we look for from Jesus at any given time is very much rooted in what we're experiencing in that moment. Are you looking for Jesus the healer? Perhaps Jesus the reconciler? Perhaps Jesus the Prince of Peace, bringing peace to a chaotic life? Perhaps Jesus the encourager, the strengthener to get us through the hard times? Yes, he is all those things. But more importantly, and above all of that, he is God with us. And that's not an accident. That's not a drop in the bucket of history. That is the plan of history. That is the centerpiece of God's work, is that he would be with us. Not apart from us, not separate from us, not judging us, not putting us away, but with us. That's the desire of his work. That's the heart of Jesus. It's the heart of God. And as we look through history, we can see in the history of Jesus' work with us, that God's work with us, we see the healer. We see the reconciler. We see the peace bringer. We see the encourager. We see the strengthener. And as we remember those pieces of history, we can be confident as we step forward that Jesus will bring to each of us the things that are needful in our lives. Because he's not distant. He's not far away. He's not apart from us. He is God with us. God with you. God with me. God with us in this whole great story of history of which you and I now are a living part. It's my prayer that as we come to this Christmas, you will find something new in that. In your worship, in your times of prayer, in your family, in the hubbub of the holiday celebrations, I pray that you will make space and allow that time for Jesus to break in, to be God with us, God with you, not God the far off, but God with us, Emmanuel, this Christmas.